Lord's God's Spirit would be upon you and guide you, inspire you, encourage you, because at times it is difficult, and at times it is full of joy and the blessings abound, but at other times there's a weight, there's a burden that you carry, and so I understand that as well. And we are flawed men, and we try our best, and we try to partner with the Lord, but oftentimes we fall short, and there are consequences to those that we love. And so, you know, God help us. But we appreciate you so much, fathers. Family was God's idea, right? I mean, He created it, He designed it, and the idea of a family and a home to be a sacred sanctuary, a place of love and security, a place of training and transformation and grace. It really seems to be God's intent. I want to read to you two verses. And what we'll look at today is a little different maybe than what we typically would do, you know, working through a passage in the Bible. I'm going to lay out just some admonition, encouragement to the fathers, really parents, and there's others that would benefit from this as well. But this is Genesis chapter 1, a little bit of chapter 2. It says, so God created man in His image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Then God blessed them, and He said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. There is a blessing from family. And so as fathers, not only do we have the opportunity to bless our children, but really they bless us. And of course, that is the design. So God, as Pastor Larry mentioned earlier, men have been commissioned and entrusted by God to lead and to guide the family, to be a good godly example in a way that is spirit-led, sacrificial, servant-motivated. And again, it's this high and noble task, and oftentimes I think we struggle to fulfill it, but we are to nurture our families and guide them. We're called, along partnering with our wives, to train our children, to teach our children, to equip our children. And really at the core of that responsibility regarding our children is to shepherd their hearts and to lead them into a saving relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give you some basic fatherhood foundations, and there are many others. This is just a couple that we'll look at today, but there are many others that we could add to this list, of course. One is the one that I just hinted at, and that is shepherding their hearts, and that should be the first and foremost thing that we're thinking about. This is Proverbs 4:20. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was saying, you know, you're going to have a lot of different teachers, but what a privilege, what an honor that I was the one that shared the gospel with you and in a sense labored and birthed you to a place that you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we have that as parents, that same opportunity to lead our children to that same place. And then Galatians 4:19 says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. And that's the goal we have, indeed, not only to birth them in a sense, but that ultimately Christ would be formed in them, that they would take on the form and the shape and the heart of God and reflect Jesus Christ. And so how are we doing that, fathers? Well, there's a multitude of ways that we should be doing that, but always we've talked about this word in our men's group so many times, and the word is intentional. Are we intentional? You know, we're running from one thing to the next, aren't we, gentlemen? Here and there, and we get home, we're tired, we're beat. And we just want to sometimes just collapse, right? Just rock back in that old recliner and crank that baby back. But we have still got a high calling, and every opportunity that we have, we should take it to minister to our children, to shepherd their heart. The next one, the second foundation is understanding God's identity and our own. Because if we as fathers, if we don't have a firm grasp of our own identity in Christ, if we don't understand who God is, His character, then we are going to struggle in a multitude of ways being a godly father that can really influence and shepherd the hearts of our children. And so I think we need to confront often and consistently our perceptions, our thinking of who God is, and even our own identity, because as we tear away the things that have attached themselves to our definition of who God is, somewhere we get closer and closer to who He really is. Somewhere, and of course that's outlined in the Bible over and over again, but we are influenced in so many different ways, and it tears away. God is distorted, and if our perception of God is distorted, then our perception of ourselves is distorted. We can't have the right identity of who we are in Christ until we understand who God is and His character and so forth. And so it begins with God, and it's like God who told Moses, "I am that I am." And we need to figure out who He is and understand Him and follow Him and pursue Him and study Him. That is indeed our calling. And as we're striving to do that, of course, our children are watching us. They're learning from us, whether we realize it or not, whether we want them to or not at times. And they will begin to reflect our heart and the identity that we have. And so it behooves us to take this as a serious call to understand our identity and who God is. And with the authority and the calling that we have, if we don't have that identity for ourselves firmly understood and implanted in our hearts and minds, then there can be grave consequences to those around us. So fathers, let that be a high and holy calling for you. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that you may know Him," right? "That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's our calling, men. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus says the Lord, do not let the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory, who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me," God says, "that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord." So what are some of the things that make us struggle as men and women too? One is that God would say to us, I think, I am that I am, but I am not your definition of me. I am not your definition of me. Our definition of God, our understanding of Him is skewed, as I've been talking about. And so I think that is one thing that the Lord would encourage us to be humble before Him and to realize that this God who is above all and beyond our wildest dreams, His majesty, His righteousness, His holiness, we oftentimes don't quite have it right. And God says, "I am not your definition of me. There is so much more. And yours is probably distorted." The I am says, "I am not a higher power." And as we look at the culture and society, they want to make God into a higher power, an energy, the universe, or Mother Earth, or whatever. And those are some extremes that I'm talking about. But I think we have to constantly be looking at and rejecting what the culture would say, what paganism would say, what anything other than the Word of God would say. And we have to see those things and say, that doesn't line up with the Word of God. That's not Him. So God says, I am not a higher power. The I am would say, I am not your fears. Our fears, our anxiety play into our understanding of God, and they can cause us to not trust Him, to struggle with resting, to have shalom, to have peace. And God says, I am not your fears. That is not who I am. And if your fears are defining me, stop, stop. The I am would say, I am not my actions. There are some who look into the Word of God and they look at God's action and a few different places and they say, is that the God we're following? I don't like what He did there. And so they begin to build a concept and an understanding of God based on some of His actions. And of course, we cannot begin to understand why God did certain things. It's above and beyond our thinking. We step back in awe and reverence and say, I don't understand, but I will trust Him. And we certainly cannot begin to define God by His actions. So it can be a dangerous place to go. And some people get way off track when they begin to do that. The I am would say, I am not your experiences. That is not necessarily who I am, because experiences tend to be untrustworthy. They are often interpreted through the lens of emotionalism and all kinds of different baggage that we picked up. And so God says, I know you've experienced different things, but I am not your experiences. That is not who I am. And so don't try and define me in that way. The I am would say, I am not the same as your earthly example. And Joe talked about that a little bit. Many of us, maybe we didn't have a good father example. Maybe we didn't have a father, period. And so we can look at our earthly fathers, whether we had them or not, and we can allow those feelings that we had towards our earthly father or lack thereof, and we can begin to project them onto our heavenly father. And God says, I am not your earthly father. I am. And He has defined Himself over and over to us. And that is who we will trust in. We will not make Him out of our earthly father's example. Of course, as fathers, we want to reflect God as closely as we can, but we often miserably fail. And so, men, this is a core thing. If you are going to be a strong, courageous, loving father and husband, you need to know who you are in Christ. Know your identity and strive to know truly who God is. And that's a lifelong journey, isn't it? Beyond a lifelong journey. It's a forever journey, but let us strive to walk down that path and to understand Him better. This next one, as we've talked about our flaws as fathers, is striving to be a good godly example. And that is difficult. And we fall short. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And men, you know, if you're honest, and I'm there right with you, admitting it is so easy to get caught up in the lusts of the world, clamoring after this, clamoring after that, being caught up in all kinds of things that are really, when we take them to an extreme anyway, far from the will of God. And to simplify it, just men, fathers, we must have a humble heart before God, having reverence and respect for Him. A grateful heart, showing appreciation and thanksgiving and praise to Him. A generous heart, a heart that's not holding on to the things of this world, but rather saying, this is from God, praise be to His name. How can I use it to help others? How can I use it for His glory? A servant's heart, willing to take action, to stop, to pause, to reach out, to give to people through our time, through our gifts, through our finances, through our possessions. And all the while we're doing that, little ones, medium ones, and tall, skinny ones, children are watching us and taking notes and taking notes. And those notes then are applied to their hearts and begins to transform them. And so, fathers, what a important thing it is. And I know these are basic things, but we fall short so many times of just the basic things, don't we, fathers? The next foundation, teaching God's divine design for gender. Now, this would not be a foundational fatherhood thing, I think, years ago, would it? But you know what? Today it is. In fact, everything has changed now. The list of things that we ought to have as priorities of fathers, teaching our children, helping them to understand, confronting the lies of the enemy and the lies of the culture, the game has changed. It is no longer the same. And if you have not got on this boat, get on it. Because your kids are being affected and their ship will be sunk. Their heart and their minds will be sunk if you don't understand what is happening and how the enemy is penetrating their hearts and their minds, changing them, warping them. And so today there's serious implications in fatherhood regarding gender. And we need to shield our sons and our daughters from those that would seek to confuse their sexuality. We need to teach God's grand design for gender, for men and women, and the beautiful differences and how God designed them in such a way that they complement one another, men and women. And so there's a lot that we could say on this foundation, but I hope you're taking this serious, because the enemy is taking this very serious. And if he can mess with your child's sexuality and understanding of a gender, he will mess with your child. And the ramifications, the consequences can be lifelong. And so, dads, please step up, step up. And these are difficult things. Well, How would I talk? God will help you. God will help you. The Word of God lays it out. Just teach God's plan, His divine design. It's not complicated. Confront the lies that are being perpetrated upon these young minds. Foundation number five, the next one, teaching just a selfless sacrifice. We look at our Lord Jesus, and what a selfless sacrifice He presented. What love and surrender, and what selflessness. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." A father has to know how to bleed. The foundation of all Christ's authority, in a sense, in the church, in the world, is the blood that He shed, the sacrificial blood that He shed. He took responsibility through that sacrificial service for our sins. And so we, as fathers, we must surrender our pride and our selfishness for the cause of Christ. And when your children see you loving and serving and blessing your wife and loving and serving and sacrificing on their behalf, they become selfless, sacrificial servants that hopefully reflect the heart of our God and the heart of His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Teaching selfless sacrifice, so important in this age that we live in. Foundation number six, teaching the truth of God. Ephesians 6:4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." The training and the admonition of the Lord. And as we've hinted out earlier, the philosophy and the thinking and the perversions of the world are subtly, incrementally making their way into classrooms, into all just saturated media and is affecting our kids. And so we have to take our kids to the Word over and over and over again. And let us find ways to do that that excite our children. It's maybe singing the Word, teaching the Word in practical ways, living out the Word, taking things that are around them in nature and pointing them to the Word. There's so many ways that we could do this, but I think we have to establish the Word of God as truth and is the foundation of everything. Their lives have to be built upon this. And if that is instilled early on, then they can say, wait a minute. You said what? That's not here. So I reject that. You know that? What a blessing it is to have children that say, wait a minute. It's not here. I reject that. Isn't that what we want? We want kids that are building their lives upon the Word of God. And these things that I'm going to mention next, they're interrelated, but just to give you some examples of some of the things that are coming at our kids and how why it is so important to over and over again to teach the truth of God and make it valued and sacred in their eyes. So regarding tolerance, which you know we would think of accepting others without agreeing or sharing their beliefs or their choices, not endorsing their beliefs or their choices, but what tolerance to our kids, they are being told that that's to accept every individual's beliefs, their values, their lifestyles, and their truth claims as equal to the Word of God. And they are not equal. There is only one truth, and that is the Word of God, right? Respect, giving due consideration and care to others, but they are told that respect means to wholeheartedly approve of others' beliefs and choices. Acceptance, embracing people for who they are, but not necessarily what they do and they say. But the youth are told acceptance is endorsing, even praising others for their beliefs and their choices, even when it's totally contrary to the Word of God. Moral judgments, things that are morally right and wrong, they are determined by God and by God alone. But our youth are being told that they have no right to judge another person's view or behavior. That is mean-spirited. That is this and that is that. And they're often called names because they would say there's only one truth, God's truth. Personal preference. You know, there are preferences of color and style and hobbies. These can be certainly personally determined, but our youth are told that these preferences, personal preferences, can also be applied to behaviors, value systems, sexuality, and so forth. So those things have to be confronted. Personal rights. Everyone, we would agree, I would hope that everyone should be treated equally under the law. But our youth are being told everyone has the right to do what they believe is best for them. Freedom. We would say freedom is to do what you know you ought to do. Freedom is to know what is wrong, to know what is against God's ways, and to be empowered by the Spirit to say, yes, this is God's design, this is what He's calling me to. That is freedom, right? But freedom for them, or they're being told, is being able to do anything you want to do. That's freedom. Well, that's not freedom. That's not biblical freedom. And then truth, that there's an absolute godly standard for right and wrong. But our youth are being told, you know, whatever you think is right for you, that's your truth. That's your truth. These are some things that I think just that ought to be just basic things. Helping your kids understand how to make choices and thinking through things. They are faced with all kinds of decisions, and increasingly so, being tempted in different ways that we had never even would have dreamed about being tempted in at their age. And so we ought to help our children come up with some ways of, of course, being led of the Spirit and comparing it to the Word of God, but saying, could I be taking advantage or could I be defrauding someone if I did this? Would this harm my witness for Christ if I did this, if I got involved in this? Will this allow others to talk badly about me and affect my reputation or another person's reputation, not concerned about me individually, but because I represent Christ. I am His, and I want to always be guarding His reputation. Is there something about this decision, if I went ahead and did it, that could become addictive or could cause some type of bondage in me? What have my parents said? What have other godly counselors said? What has the Word of God told me about this? Do I understand the power and progressive nature of a physical relationship? You know, our parents, and I know these are difficult topics, but we have to sit down with our kids and work through these things and help them to understand. And the last one that I'll mention here is to help them to understand their relationship with God must always be first. This is everything. This is the core of your life. This is the top priority, to honor God, to follow Him, to give yourself to Him, to surrender to Him daily for His purposes, for the cause of Christ, for His glory. Foundation number 7, recognizing the special needs of boys and girls. And just realizing there are ways to communicate with your daughter, things that she needs to know that are going to be a little bit different than your son, of course. And I know that's not a new concept for you, but I had 3 daughters, and so I'll kind of talk about a couple things about daughters. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful, beauty it's passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So with my daughter, how can I help her to have a healthy self-image of herself, to focus on her identity in Christ, on her character, who she is in Christ, and so for her giftings and the way God designed her, rather than her outward appearance and her sexuality, and the world is trying to take her and make that the number one thing, her appearance and her sexuality. So dads, we have to help our daughters understand that. And if a daughter doesn't have our security from us and love from us and trust in us, then it's going to create all kinds of problems in her future. She's probably going to choose a man that's going to treat her badly or ignore her. And so let us be diligent with these precious young ladies. When daughters have dads that are engaged, they have a higher self-worth. Looking at some of the studies, it's so interesting. They rebel less in critical years. Their adult relationships are so much healthier. Just our lives overall are so much more blessed. Dads, it's a critical thing. Let us not take this lightly. Let us be diligent. Let us be intentional. Let us be consistent in ministering to our daughters and our sons, of course, as well. And there's all different kinds of things. These are things that probably both boys and girls ought to know. But I want to, in this day of anything goes, I want to mention these regarding purity, modesty, courtship. Make sure that you're having consistent and open communication with your sons and your daughters. Teach them the downfalls of just recreational dating, and teach them the blessing of courtship and having others involved and parents involved. Teach them the negative power and the progression of a physical relationship. I mentioned that earlier. Help them establish boundaries and guidelines in each stage of their relationship with another person. Be a good example and be careful what you allow into your home. Sometimes we wonder, why is my kid having this problem? And if we could look back and see what TV shows we watched and what we talked about and some of the friends that we allowed them to have that they probably should not have had, and you know, how much did we contribute to some of the struggles that they're having? Strive to major on the principles of the Word, the principles of God, and don't get caught fighting those tedious battles. Keep them out of the sex education classes, and we've talked about this before. Some of the curriculum that's coming out now that's already on the West Side starts so early and gets so graphic so quickly. Please be careful, be watchful, be aware of what's going on. You need to be teaching them about God's beautiful design of sex, not the culture, not the school system. Make sure you are a good example of a loving, godly, passionate marriage. You know, when your kids, I saw this post where it says, you know, they were encouraging parents to gross out your kids, and they had a mom and a dad kissing in the kitchen. And, you know, love your wife. Wives, love your husbands. Show them how beautiful marriage can be. Show them God's intent and how His design works. And as they see your marriage, let them say, I want to marry a man or a woman like that, like mom or dad. I want to have that kind of a marriage. What a beautiful thing for your kid to say, I want to have that kind of marriage. Can your kids say that about your marriage? I hope they can. Talk about things that affect a boy or a girl sexually and what responsibilities they have towards the opposite sex. A daughter needs a father who is honest and trustworthy, even tempered and consistent. Gets behind her eyes and understands how she sees life and the world and herself. And that's difficult. That takes time. That takes intimacy. That takes trust. And it doesn't just happen, does it, Dad? So we have to try and steady our sons and our daughters. We ought to lovingly confront them and help them examine their heart. We ought to have a sense of humor. Give them the gift of positive expectations and encouragement. You know, care for them, comfort them. Give them loving touches and hugs. You know, show them a man, a father who's full of grace, God's truth, who has love and acceptance for them, and a man, a father who reflects Jesus Christ. Communicate often with them. Listen to them often. Ask them questions often, and not just, how was your day? Fine. No, no, no. There's much, much more. Make her smile. Make your daughter smile. Foundation number 7, understanding God's principles. And there's so many principles I think that we could talk about today, and I'm going to try and just go through these rather rapidly as we begin to wrap this up. But the principle of calling, nothing is more important than helping them to understand that God has designed them and gifted them and has a call on their life, that they are to be a good steward of that. God has a mission for them, and they are not to squander that. And I pray that you would take time to do the grace principle. God will never call them to a task that He won't empower them to complete. He's always with them. The law principle. Our children need God's law, but they also need to understand that the law cannot do what grace and an indwelling Christ and anointing of God's Spirit can do. They need to understand that as well. The inability principle, just that we are humble as dads, saying, you know, there are some areas that I really struggle in, that I fail in so often, and some things that I just seem unable to do, and just crying out to God and being humble before Him, asking for His help. We've talked the identity principle. We've talked about that earlier, that you understand your identity in Christ, and as you lead them to Christ as Savior, that they too would understand their identity in Christ. The process principle, just that God is doing this transformational process, and it's a whole life thing, shaping them, molding them, transforming them, renewing their minds, and so forth. And parents and grandparents, we have to be involved in that. We don't say, you're 18, there's the door, out of here, baby. No, we will die as their parents. And so it doesn't just begin at birth, and it doesn't just end at 18. It goes on until Jesus comes or you die. The lost principles. Understand that as a parent, we need to see that we're not just dealing with bad behavior. We're dealing with them. It's a sin issue. Their struggle is a sin issue. It's a heart issue. And so we need to understand that. We want to get to that place and deal with the sin and deal with the heart. It's not just about dealing with a bad behavior. Authority principle. One of the foundational heart issues in life is that every child understands authority. And we live in an age, again, that authority is being questioned, it's being rebuked, it's being destroyed, it's being discarded, it's being, all kinds of things. But help them to understand that authority is a beautiful thing. It's a God-designed and ordained thing. And if they respond to authority, they will be blessed. There's some of these that are so important. False God principle. You are, Dad, you are parenting a worshiper. And your son or your daughter will worship. And we need to make sure it's our job to get to their heart, because we need to make them a God worshiper. And there are so many idols in our lands that they can begin to worship. And we need to pull down the idols, help them to pull down the idols, to understand the idols, to see them, confront them, pull them down, and to replace them with the only true God. And there are many other principles in the Word of God that we could talk about today. I'm gonna leave them there for now. But I just want to leave our time here today with another challenge to our men, mothers and fathers, parents, aunts and uncles, to the church as well. How are we doing at mentoring and parenting the children and the youth and the young adults? How are we doing? Can we do better? Yes. Have we failed? Yes. Has the game changed? Yes. Do we understand that? Are we incorporating new ways that are founded on God's Word and inspired by God's Spirit, ways that we can confront the evils of the culture and reveal some of the deceptions and so forth? We have to do things differently than we have in the past. It's not the same world. It's not the same world. And if you think it is, your child is going to suffer greatly. You might say, well, I did okay. I made it through. It's different now. It's different now. I want to just close today with praying for our children and praying for our fathers and parents. And what a glorious thing parenthood is, fatherhood is. What an amazing thing that God has entrusted us with. The opportunity to partner with Him to mold and shape a young mind and heart, and really has having eternal consequences. I mean, that is an amazing thing, isn't it? I hope we hold that sacred, that we understand what a high calling that truly is. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today and we recognize, God, you as our Father, perfect, just, righteous, holy, majestic, all-powerful. Lord, help us to understand you better, that we might reflect you more. Help us to understand the riches and identity that you have for us in Christ. Lord, help those things to take root and help us to parent from that foundation. Father, I pray that you would help us as fathers. Forgive us for the times that we have failed, and we have and we will. But Lord, help us to be better at ministering to our kids. We love them so much. We want them to love you even more. We want much, much more for them. Lord, help us. Help us to see that happen. Help us to love them deeper, to watch over them and protect them and teach them and lead them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you today for all the blessings, and surely our children are one of the greatest. We want to be good stewards. We want to love them well. And we want to see them love you, Lord, and walk into eternity one day with us. So we give you the glory. We cry out to you for help today. Go with us. Bless the fathers, Lord. Encourage them. Inspire them. Give them strength. May your Spirit be upon them, God. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God go with you. Have a blessed Sabbath. You're dismissed. Happy Sabbath.